إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Still on النكاح from the book بلوغ المرام by الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى وعن ضحاك بن فيروز السيلمي عن أبيه رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله إني أطلمت وتحتي أختان فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طلق أيتهما شئت رواه أحمد والأربعة إلا النسائية وصححه ابن حبان والدارقطني والبيهقي وأعله البخاري from الضحاك the son of فيروز الديلمي from his father فيروز الديلمي may Allah be pleased with him فيروز الديلمي is one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was one of those who participated in the killing of the one who proclaimed himself as a prophet by name Al-Aswad Al-Ansi from Yemen. He declared himself a prophet. Fayruz Al-Daylami was among those who were sent to tackle Al-Aswad Al-Ansi. Among the four people who claim themselves as prophets, two of them maybe during time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and two others immediately after his death, Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab during time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise Al-Aswad al-Ansi. Then there are some other two people, Sulayha and Sajah. So these two people, they returned back to Islam. But as for Al-Aswad al-Ansi and Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab, both of them were killed. The shahid here is that this hadith was reported from Fayruz al-Daylami. قال قلت يا رسول الله Fayruz al-Daylami said to us, O Messenger of Allah, in me Islam too, I embrace Islam, وَتَحْتِي أُخْتَانِ and I have under me two sisters. I have under me two sisters. That is as wives. Two sisters from the same father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنْ تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. It is haram for you to marry two sisters together. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. except for what has preceded. That is, those who have fallen into such before, Allah pardons them. For henceforth, it is not permissible for somebody who wants to take a second wife to combine two sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited that. Likewise, to combine a lady and her aunt is also forbidden. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade this. We have read something on this before. Now, this is a typical case, a living example. This man embraced Islam and he had a wife, two sisters. What should he do? So he asked the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His response was, "Talliq ayyata'u ma shit." Divorce either of the two. You cannot combine both. As Allah said, "Wa antajma'u bayna al-ukhtayn." For you to go combine two sisters as wives. So you have to pick only one. "Talliq ayyata'u ma shit." Divorce any or either of the two. You have to divorce one. Both of them cannot be under you. Which one should be divorced? People may want to say you should divorce the one that is married second. Because definitely would have married one before the second one. So the one that is married first should be the one to watch. To be kept. Why the second will be divorced? Will be divorced. But this is not what Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. He says, "Talliq ayyatahu ma shi'ta." Divorce either of the two. So you are free. So it is not injustice to say that he should divorce anyone or either of the two. And it's not just to say he should retain the first one. Because this is something that has to do with what? With love. He may love the second one more than the first one. And if you say he should retain the first one, it's like what you are trying to impose on him what you should do. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden is what? Antajma'u bayna al-ukhtayn. It is the combination of two sisters. That is what is forbidden. Now the first thing, want to set one of them, or you want to allow one of them to go. Is it a must that you should now allow the second one to go because they married the first one first? No. This is what the issue of marriage. It is the issue of love. Let him decide the one that he loves more out of the two. Then what is going to be the fate of the first one? When things like this happen, what should come to our mind is what? Is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you leave something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you for that. But most of the time we don't think in that line. So we are always looking at the worldly benefits of whatever we are doing. So when they say Islamically this is not permissible, we don't look at the evil effect of it on the day of Qiyamah. What is going to be the punishment attached to that on the day of Qiyamah? What we consider most is what? The worldly benefits. And that's why most of the time human beings will do things that Allah has forbidden. Because of the worldly benefits. Because of the sensual benefits that we get from that particular thing. At that particular time, it may not be a lasting benefit. But because of what? The benefit that we get immediately, we get ourselves engrossed in things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. A believing woman that knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a man cannot combine two sisters at once. and she happens to be one of the two sisters, the man has the right to choose the other person instead of her. She should see that as what? As the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that the man has not chosen her does not mean what? He should be fomenting trouble with that. She should be pleased with that. And whatever she may have lost from this, she should see it as something that Allah is going to compensate her something better. This is how a Muslim looks at issue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. So when it happened to Fayruz al-Daylami, when he embraced Islam and he had under him as wives two sisters, and he read the Quran, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. Part of what is forbidden is for you to marry together two sisters. Then we say two sisters, that is from the same father or from the same mother. So Allah has forbidden this. So what should we do now? Allah has forbidden it. What should we do? Say, ask the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, Talik ayyata umashit. Divorce either of the two. Rawahu Ahmad, Imam Ahmad reported it. Wal arba'atu illa al-nasai, likewise the four. Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, At-Tirmidhi. Al-Nasai is not reported. Wa sahahu Ibn Hibban. Ibn Hibban declared to be authentic. Wa Dar-Qutni, likewise of Dar-Qutni, Wal Bayhaqi and Bayhaqi. وَعَلَّهُ الْبُخَارِي. Imam Bukhari said the hadith has a kind of illah, a defect. Because some said Bahaq is not somebody that is known. But most of the other educated it, they said the hadith has some other sources that also corroborate it. So that the hadith is authentic or not, we have in the Quran, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بين الأختين. It's forbidden together to marry together to us. So for the two sisters cannot be under you. So which means you have to divorce one of them. Who believes that it is more authentic? Which one should one divorce? So it's not the right of anyone to say, okay, you should divorce the second one, because the second one what? Came later. Huh? So the man should be allowed to choose the one that he loves more out of the two. وَعَنْ صَالِمْ عَنْ أَبِيهِ. And from Salim, from his father, Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, أَنَّ غَيْلَانَ ابْنَ صَلَمَةَ أَسْلَمَ. That غَيْلَان, the son of Salama, he embraced Islam. وَلَهُ عَشْرُ نِسْوَةٍ. And he had 10 wives. فَأَسْلَمْنَ مَعَهُ. And these 10 ladies, he embraced Islam together with the husband. And we know that a Muslim is not allowed to marry more than 4 wives at once. It's not allowed to marry more than 4 wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. To marry what suits you, what you love of women. You can marry 2, you can marry 3, you can marry 4. فَانْخِفْتُ مَنْ لَا تَعْرِمُ فَوَاحِدًا. But if you are afraid that you will not be able to do the justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory. Because when we talk about justice, there is justice that Allah has made compulsory. There is one that we feel it is justice, but it's not what part of the justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. Love of the earth, to have equal love for the wives, this is not required in the deen. But to give them their rights, this is what's expected. But to love them equally, This is not what? It's not possible. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. You cannot do all the justice among the women. وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. Who will you to make effort? He said that, but وَلَا تَمِيلُ كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. We should not tilt towards one of the wives. كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. And completely. فَتَذَرُوَ كَلْمُ عَلَّقَ. Then you leave the other one as if what? You have just and her on something. No, you have to do your right. Or your duties rather. And they get their right. But it's not part of their right. The love of the act. It's not part of their right. And some other things like that. So Ghilan bin Salama رضي الله عنه embraced Islam. His 10 wives also embraced Islam together with him. What's going to be the situation? You can't marry more than 4. The man had 10 wives already. Are you going to say he should continue with the 10 wives? And funnily enough, or let me say personally, the wives, they all embrace Islam together with him. So what is he going to do? He can't marry more than 4. فَأَمَرَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered him أَنْ يَتَخَيَّرَ مِنْهُنَّ أَرْبَعَ. That he should what? Choose 4 out of the 10. رواه أحمد. Ahmad reported it. والترمذي الترمذي وصححه ابن حبان ابن حبان also authenticated this والحاكم الحاكم وعله البخاري البخاري وابو زرع ابو حاكم يفرق عام الا كتاب الديفت but it also asked some other chains and الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله تعالى in إروال غليل authenticated both the other chains and the hadith is meant to be authentic. Now, even if the hadith is not authentic, what we have in the Quran is that you cannot marry more than 4 wives. So a man who has 10 wives before embracing Islam, what happens to them? What will be the fate of those wives? So what you will have to do is for him to choose 4 out of the 10 and release the meaning. And release the remaining. That is what you will have to do. Because you can't marry more than 4 wives. Now one may say, what you should choose the ones, the first 4. Huh? Then the remaining what? 6 will be released. The first 4 should be chosen. Then the remaining 6 should not be released. But the same thing, what we said in the first case, is also applicable here. You can't tell him the one to choose, because this is something that has to do with what? The act. So you will have to choose the ones that he loves most. Now what will be the fate of the remaining 6? The fate of the remaining 6 is that they should see it as what? Qadar Allah. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. This is the qadr of Allah. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use, he does. So when it comes to what issue of the deen, there are some things that you have to bear. It will be difficult as human beings to accept. But we have to bear, there is no end what. Any alternative for that, this is what our Lord has decreed. وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيار من أمرهم. It's not becoming of a believer made of humility when Allah and His Messenger decide a matter. أن يكون لهم الخيار for them to have what? Alternative or option to say, okay, no, this is what we choose. apart from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And Allah also said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. So at times you hate something, but that thing that is clear for you is it. Now the fact that a man and a woman are separated, that does not mean what the end of the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do to them. The separation will be good for the woman. Definitely. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got as rules. It will be good for the woman in this world and the hereafter, if she takes it that way. You know, somebody may say, no, how is he going to watch? Leave me. So we have to watch, do whatever we do in order to watch, to remain in that situation. Not the limit the man can have his choice. So most of you are Muslims, were kuffar before. And you see, have embraced Islam, or you have embraced Islam, so you are both what? Muslims now. And when you say Islam, Islam is submission to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you embrace Islam, you really got, the man cannot marry more than four wives, and is given the choice to choose. The fact that, okay, these people are the last six, doesn't mean what? They should be the one to be released. No. You can release the first one, you can release the second one, or the third one. But the question is what is going to be the fate of the woman that has been released? The fate is that what? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ اللَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he abides by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He submits himself or herself to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will always give what? A way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah what? We enrich him, we provide for him from the place that what? He has not, or she has not expected. Take for instance, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, when she lost her husband, she was disturbed somehow. But the prayer is that what? Allah should give her what is better than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ummu Salama radiallahu anha was mentioned among the wives of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Attempts to eat something, you detest something, but that thing is what is good for you. So, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. So, you love from these at times, but that thing that you are loving, that you are dying for, that you are ready to work, sacrifice your life for, it is what shar, it is evil. So Allah knows you don't know. So this is something that women that are affected in situations like this will afterwards submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا قَالْ. From Abdullah the son of Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, رَدَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِبْنَتَهُ زَيْنَبَا على عبد العاص بن ربيع بعد ست سنين بالنكاح الأول ولم يحدث نكاحا. عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه reported that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم returned Zainab, his first daughter. The eldest of the children of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was Zainab, and the youngest was Fatima radiallahu anha. Zainab radiallahu anha, the eldest. Fatima radiallahu anha, the youngest. Fatima radiallahu anha was married to Abu al-Asi ibn Rabi. She was married to Abu al-Asi ibn Rabi in Jahiliyyah. And Zainab radiallahu anha embraced Islam about the second year of the beginning of Islam in Mecca. When the Prophet of Allah Muhammad was made a prophet, it's around the second year that she embraced Islam. And Abul As ibn Rabi' did not embrace Islam until about 18 years or so later. Both of them were together. He, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, emigrated from Mecca to Medina. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent about 13 years in Mecca. And Abul As ibn Rabi', Zainab, when the Messenger of Allah emigrated, and the believers were asked to also emigrate, so she emigrated to Medina in the 13th year, which is what? 12 years, around 12 years after what? After Islam. So, Abul As ibn Rabi' also came to embrace Islam later. He came to Medina later. Sometimes about 6 years later, came to Medina to embrace Islam. That means between the Islam of Abul As ibn Rabi' and that of Zainab, there was about 18 years. But both of them were still together until the verse was revealed that a Muslim woman should not be under a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ لَهُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ. So a kafir cannot marry a Muslim, and a Muslim cannot marry a kafir. So this verse nullified it, abrogated it. And this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Muslims, what are we going to do? Abul As ibn Rabi' is a very nice man. Very nice, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both of them were together for years, even despite the fact that she had embraced Islam. But when the verse was revealed that La hunna hillu lahum, they are not lawful, the women are not lawful for the kuffar. Walahum yahilluna lahunna, and they are also not lawful for the kafirat. So with the exception of a Muslim man marrying a church Christian or Jewish woman, with that exception that we have in Surah Al-Ma'idah. But a kafira, a mushrika, not a Christian, nor a Jew, being under a Muslim is not permissible. The abdu can never oath. The ones that I've heard before, Allah's watch abrogated them. And daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell in this situation. So this woman did not remarry. Throughout her stay in Medina, it was 6 years. For about 6 years or so, she did not remarry when she got to Medina. And what? The nikah between both of them that was done in Jahiliyyah, before the Messenger of Allah was raised as a prophet, the nikah was suspended. When this man now embraced Islam, this is what the hadith is talking about now. رَدَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِبْنَتَهُ زَيْنَبْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back his daughter Zainab ala Abi al-As bin Rabi' to Abul As ibn Rabi' ba'da 50 sinin bin nikah al-awwal, after 6 years for the first nikah. That is no new nikah. No new nikah. Now some of the scribes bad at things is meaning that this addition is not authentic. We have bad at penetrating after 3 years. But the most important thing is what it is established in history. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back Zainab, his daughter, to Abu al-As ibn Rabi'i, who was what? Who was a kafir. Both of them, both Zainab and Abu al-As ibn Rabi'i, were not Muslim before. But Zainab, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, embraced Islam. It is the second year after her father was raised as a prophet. And she was still under the kafir husband. Both of them were still doing what? Husband and wife. Until the verse was revealed, لَا هُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ. So they cannot marry one another, they are not halal for one another. Until this was revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. That is, you believing men should not have as wives the kafirat. With the exception of what? The Jewish or Christian women. Without exception. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And those who are muhsanat from among those that is chaste and free people from among the what? الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ, those who are given the scripture before you. So clever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said what? وَلَا تُنْكِحُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And for those of you who have not married out your daughter, you have not married off your daughter, don't marry your daughter to al-mushrikeen, the unbelievers. General. Now we have the case of, I want to marry off my daughter. Can I marry off my daughter to a mushrik, whether Christian, Jew, or the other God? No, you can't do that. You can only marry your daughter off to a Muslim. If you marry your daughter off to a non-Muslim, regardless of the religion, that act you can never hold. It is what? It is zina. It is zina. Now two kafir, they embrace Islam. They embrace. Sorry, two kafir, one of them embraced Islam. Let's say the man embraced Islam. The man embraced Islam. The woman has not embraced Islam. She's among the people that do this your festival and the like, that is not a Christian or a Muslim. She believes in what? In this idol that people believe in. Can the man retain her? A couple. They are what? Both of them are kafir. But the husband embraced Islam. The wife has not embraced Islam. The wife is not a Christian nor a Jew. Huh? She is what? Not a Christian nor a Jew. Can the man retain her or not? He cannot retain her. Why? Huh? No. وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ. Now, they are what? They are husband and wife already. But the man just embraced Islam. But the woman did not. Juma has not embraced Islam. Juma is neither a Christian nor a Jew. Can they retain the relationship? No. Now the evidence, well, I think you're mushrikat. ولا تمسكوا بعصم الكوافر because he addresses it exactly. ولا تمسكوا بعصم الكوافر. Do not retain the kawafir as what? As right. Is this clear? Is it clear, man? ولا تمسكوا بعصم الكوافر. Don't retain the kawafir as what? As right. So the fact that what? The man has embraced Islam and the woman is neither a Christian nor a Jew, as what has suspended their marriage until the woman embraces Islam. Otherwise, no meeting between both of them as husband and wife. What if the man embraces Islam and the woman does not embrace Islam? The woman is a Christian and or a Jew, can they retain the marriage? Huh? You are not answering. Can they retain the marriage? The man has embraced Islam, but the woman has not embraced Islam. She's a Christian or a Jew. Can they retain it? What is the evidence? وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ As long as she's shaped, Christian, Jew, you can what? You can retain. So, there's a difference between what? A Christian, Jew, or somebody who is what? Neither Christian nor Jew, with respect to what? Issue of marriage. As for a Muslim woman, she cannot marry a mushrik. She can't marry what? Any mushrik. She cannot marry any mushrik, whether Christian, Jew, or what. But as a Christian, as a Muslim man, he can marry a Jewish woman or a Christian woman on condition of what? Chastity. On condition of what? Chastity. And on condition that what? He takes care of his family, Islamically. Otherwise, he may find himself in hellfire. May Allah save us from this. So if the couple, they are both kafirs, one of them now embraces Islam, the man embraces Islam, and the woman is neither a Christian nor a Jew, the man cannot retain her. If the woman is a Christian or Jew, he can retain her. How this is clear? You can retain her. Now, if a woman embraces Islam, the husband has not embraced Islam, can they be together? What is the evidence? لَهُمْ لَهُنَّ حِلُّمْ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنِّ So they are not lawful to one another. And that is what happened to us, to Zainab radiallahu anha. She embraced Islam, and both of them were together. But immediately this verse came, both of them were what? Separated. They were separated. So this is not of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why what? Some rulers of Islam may not be appealing to us. But إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك المفلحون. The ruling of Allah may not be appealing to us, but we have to submit ourselves. When you submit yourself and you have the belief that this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ruling, that you are not that comfortable with, Allah is going to give you something better than what he has taken from you. This is what a believer does.
بخوانت دي 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 لاي دي كفار لاي دي مشركون by opposing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this is able. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بِيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا حَرَجًا. Do not have anything against whatever judgment you have given. مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they will submit themselves. Which means what? For you to be a believer, it's not an easy task. It's something that calls for you fighting your soul to be a Muslim, to be a believer. There are some things that no one ordinarily, but Allah will say, no, you have to do it. There are some things that you want to do, but Allah will say, don't do it. And you tell yourself, what a Muslim? A Muslim is what? A submitter. The one who has submitted himself, that's the meaning of what? A Muslim. But for you to say, okay, but if you look at it, one will look at it intellectually, or we look at one has started what? The deviation from Islam. Allah said was from this. So this that happened to Zainab, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the fact that she embrace Islam, and both of them, she and her husband, were together. When the verse of what? La hunna hillu naum was revealed, she had no choice other than what? To comply. And she complied with that. But the only thing is what? She did not remarry. She did not remarry. Eventually, the husband also embraced Islam. Maybe 3 years later or 6 years later, some of the reports have it, and both of them were connected. And then, radiallahu anha, died maybe a year or so later. If we take the report of 6 years, that means she died maybe about a year later. If we take the report of what? 2 years, that means she died about 5 years or so later. But the most important thing is that what? For a while, she and her husband were separated. Because of what? Because of the deen. Because of the deen. They were united when they had what? When they practiced the same deen. So Rawahu Ahmad, وَلَمْ يُحْدِثْ نِكَاعًا. And no nikah was reintroduced. They didn't do any other nikah. And that's why I think a question was asked on this last week, that are they going to do new nikah? We said no, they are not going to do new nikah. As long as the woman has not remarried. As long as the woman has not remarried, no new nikah. So they will be connected. To be joined back, no new nikah, because the woman has not remarried. Only if she has finished the iddah, if she has finished the iddah. The fact that she has not remarried, if the husband embraces Islam, the only thing they will be is what? To continue their life, their marital life, no new nikah. No new nikah. So this is established. So a woman that embraces Islam and the husband is a kafir, they are separated. This is one of the problems that they have in the West. The husband and the wife, you see the wife embracing what? Islam. What would they do? Huh? They will be separated. Now it's not left to the woman. Your Islam, your husband. Your Islam, your husband. So this left some scholars, so to say, in Britain to be specific, to give fatwa that they can still continue the what? Relationship. So the man will do what? A kafir, and the woman will do what? A Muslim. Because this is what is a common case in the West. That just a woman embracing Islam and she loves her husband. So some people, some of those who are living in the West, they said, well, you can continue your relationship. It's what? Against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot continue the relationship. But the woman may decide not to remarry, waiting maybe the husband watch to embrace Islam. So if the husband embraces Islam, they continue their relationship. If he doesn't embrace Islam, then they are separated. They are separated. But she will have to do what? Iddah. Iddah, she will do the iddah, which is what? Premenstruation. So after the iddah, and the man does not embrace Islam, so the woman remains like that. If the man eventually embraces Islam, they continue their relationship. And that's why some of the scholars have said, what is good for a woman like that is for her to try to convince the husband to also embrace Islam. That is during the period. Like, I love you, but I want you to also embrace Islam so that we can continue this, our relationship. So the man may fall eventually for the woman and what? Embrace Islam. Just like what happened between, I think, Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym also. Between Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym. So Abu Talha embraced Islam because of Umm Sulaym. So a woman should also try to do that, so that what she can also win a husband to Islam. Just as a woman that is a Christian, that marries a Muslim man, tries to win the man to watch to Christianity. There are so many cases like this. A Muslim man who is that watch, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that you can marry those who are muhsanat from among those who are given the scriptures among you. The woman does not look at the muhsanat very well, that Allah said what? Muhsanat meaning chaste. Muhsanat meaning what? Free. Freeborn. You won't look at that clearly. You just interpret as what? You can marry Christians. And he goes to marry a Christian. The next is for the woman to try to what? Convert her to Christianity. So many cases like that. So if a woman also embraces Islam, why can't she try to also convert the kafir husband to Islam? And what? Making everything is on what? On the love between both of them. That if you want us to continue, this is what I want you to do, so that she can also win the man to Islam. There are cases like that in the West. But the fact of those people who say they can continue their relationship, so this fatwa is what? It's very wrong. And that's why the scholars, they attack those who give those fatwa, or this fatwa, they attack them. They know this is what? Nonsense. You are overwhelmed by what you see in the society. And that's why at times students of knowledge or some scholars, they may be overwhelmed by what is going on in the society. Instead of what, looking at the text, what is happening in society will make them want to bend towards the Sharia ruling. For what is, so this is dangerous. It's dangerous. So a lot of people, they deviated from the truth, practicing something like this. So what Allah says should be, what should be established, regardless of what regardless of what is the situation. Then those who have found themselves in a situation like that, that will be what? Another case. What will be the way out? How can we help them? What are the things that we can suggest to them? But let's assume that a woman is a Christian or a Jewish person or other than that, and she embraces Islam. She embraces Islam, and the husband has not embraced Islam, and the woman says, the woman continues the relationship with the husband. She continues the relationship with the husband. What are we going to say? Is she a Muslim or not? She's what? She's a Muslim. But the relationship between both of them that is still going on, is it valid or not? What is the ruling in Islam? Is zina. So which means the woman is committing zina, but she's what? She's a Muslim, but she's what? Committing zina. Now for her to be a Muslim that is committing zina is better than what? Being a kafir. Is that correct or not? But the ruling is what? She should not be under that man. That is what? The right ruling. But if she says she will continue, she will embrace Islam and she will continue that way, and she knows that what she's doing is what? Is a sin. We will not be harsh on her. For her to remain what? A Muslim Zania is better than her remain what? A kafira. And that's why scholars or students of knowledge should not be overwhelmed by what is going on in the society. What is right is right, and what is wrong is what is wrong. But who, because of what? Saying this is what is wrong, can we now try to watch to destroy things? That's what some people are doing today. Then you see some people, they sat down and they are taking it towards the country. You know, it's not the kind of result, it's haram. But for you to not say, okay, you want to go and destroy everything, and you don't have what? You are not an authority to do that. This is what? It's causing havoc, causing more harm to Islam than what? Benefit. The same thing is applicable to a preacher. You are telling people the truth. This is what Allah said. This is what Allah said, what? We should not eat riba. Allah said we should not take intoxicants. Allah said we should not take bribe. And you see people who are taking breath. The next is what? Let us be beating people. This is what's going overboard. But for you to be confronted by somebody that is taking what? Riba, or the person is consuming something kind, or the person is taking breath. For you to not say, okay, because some person is close to you, you are not trying to watch. You are trying to justify and be correct for the person what is. No, you have to tell the person the blunt truth. This is what Allah says on this matter. May Allah assist you in what? In going out of it. This is what nasiha. But for you to be overwhelmed by the personality in front of you, that okay, this person, if I say so, he will not like it. No, you are not helping this situation. You tell the blunt truth. This is what Allah said on this particular issue. You have accepted the person. At the same time, you have also saved yourself from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is important. So a Muslim cannot be under a kafir. A Muslim cannot be under a kafir. But if she decides to be under a kafir, she should know that what? She's stealing, she's committing zina. And this may also be kufru if she was legalizing it. That's another angle. But to me, there is nothing wrong in it. It is permissible. She has moved from kufru to what? To kufru. But if she does not legalize it, she has the rule of somebody who is committing zina. So I will not be asked of her. Being a Zania, Muslima, is better than what? Being a kafira. So this is something that God That is important. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do new nikah for Zainab because she did not remarry after the separation between her and Abul As bin Rabi. So when Abul As bin Rabi embraced Islam, they continued their relationship. But before the embracement of Islam, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, لَا أُنَّ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُمْ, that they are not lawful for them, nor are they lawful for them. That is, the women are not lawful for their kafir husband, nor the kafir husband lawful for the kafira wives. So the exception of the Ahlul Kitab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ هُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ. So this is something that is what? That is important to know. رواه أحمد, Ahmad reported this, والأربع and the four, إِلَّا النَّسَائِ and except Nasai, وَصَحَاهُ أَحْمَدُ وَالْحَاكِمُ. And Ahmad and Al-Hakim, they declared it to be authentic. Now there is another report that says there was a new Aqd, but this report is Munkar. But Ibn Hajar brought it because there are some scholars who have the opinion that what there should be new Aqd. So because he has brought a hadith here, regardless of the authenticity or otherwise, to tell us some of the Mazahib they built their positions on some ahadith. Those ahadith may be weak. The one that is authentic is that what? No new marriage. Because the woman has not remarried. So no new marriage. So the one that says there should be new marriage is from Amr bin Shu'ayb and Abi Anjaddi. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رد ابنته زينب على أبي العاص بن كنجدي. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم his daughter Zainab to Abu al-As with new nikah. قال الترمذي, الإمام الترمذي said, حديث ابن عباس, the hadith of Ibn Abbas actually was isnad, going by the chain, that is the hadith that we just concluded before this hadith. So going by the chain is more authentic. والعمل على حديث عمرو بن شعيب. He said much. A lot of scholars, they will give fatwa based on what the hadith of Amr bin Shu'ayb, that is with new nikah. But the one that is more authentic is that of what? No new nikah. And that is the correct opinion, that there will be no new nikah as long as the woman has not remarried. Wali ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma from Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, Qad said, Aslamat imraatun, a woman embraced Islam, فتزوجت, and she remarried. She embraced Islam and what? She remarried. Which means she was a kafir before and the husband was also a kafir. فَجَاءَ زَوْجُهَا, and the husband came, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, the husband said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنِّي كُنْتُ أَسْلَمْتُ, I have also embraced Islam. While he was Islamic, and she knew that I had embraced Islam. That is, immediately the woman embraced Islam, and the husband also embraced Islam. So which means, the woman knew that the husband had what? Embraced Islam. Which means their marriage was through what? Though the hadith is not authentic. But going by what? The words of the hadith, the woman knew that the husband had embraced Islam, and what? She has also embraced Islam, which means their marriage was still not intact. But she went ahead to remarry another man, immediately she what? She embraced Islam. So they said, yeah, فَانْتَزَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ زَوْجِ الْآخَرِ. So Messenger of Allah took her from what the other husband, وَرَدَّ إِلَى زَوْجِ الْأَوَّلِ, and he turned her to the first husband. رواه أحمد وابو داود ابن ماجه وصحيح ابن حبان والحاكم. So Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban reported it. Ibn Hibban said it's authentic. Sheikh Al-Albani rahmahullah ta'ala in Sunan Da'if Abi Dawud said the hadith is da'if. So what the content of the hadith is what is okay. And this addresses the case of a woman that just takes out her belongings out of the house of the husband. And she says what? I'm not infected anymore. This is not how to what? How to do separation in Islam. If you want to do separation in Islam, the woman will stick for what? Khul'u. And the husband will grant her the khul'u. And if the husband refuses to grant her, she takes the matter to what? To the qadi. This is how to separate in Islam. Not at what you separate the way you like, or you get married the way you like. No. In Islam, everything has to be what? Has to be in order. So when you are marrying, you marry in accordance with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are separating, you will get separated the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it. But for a woman to just feel that she can just go out of what? The house of any man, as long as God is no more interested, this is what? Tasarruful jahila. Huh? Is what? The practice of a jahila, a woman that is ignorant of the deen. Wama aksarahunna. And there are so many today. The woman may just look, I'm not interested anymore. Somebody about a few days back called me and said, the wife of his brother just packed out of what? Out of the house. So the man came and did not meet her at home. She had taken her belongings. And when she was caught, he said that she was not interested in the marriage anymore because she had a dream, so that was what, the reason why she packed out of the house. This is not how to separate in Islam. Even if you have one dream that is terrifying, what you do is for you to seek kulur. And if the man refuses, you take his watch to the kobi. And when they listen to you, they listen to him. If you have genuine reason, they separate both of you. And a man that says, what, I'm no more interested in a woman, I want to watch, divorce her. If he divorces a woman, the woman will have to do iddah. Not just like that. Not just like that. So in Islam, there is room for separation if both of them are not in harmony. But it's not that what you separate the way you like. Because when you are getting married to each other, you do not get married the way you like. So those who get married the way they like, no nikah. And that's why scholars will talk about somebody who commits zina. And that person, when she loses her virginity, so to say, when we're talking about a person that will be stoned to death, she's not among those who will be stoned to death. Am I communicating? You know, somebody is a married woman. You said a married woman will watch. So today she commits zina in Islam. A married man will be watched, stoned to death if he commits zina in Islam. So this ring of stoning to death is not applicable to a zaniya. A zaniya that has not watched, that has lost her virginity, that is lost her virginity towards true zina. You are not addressing this thing. He's talking about somebody who gets married, what? In the right way, in the way that Islam sanctions. Such a person now committing what? Zina. This is the person they are talking about, what? Listen to that. The one that commits zina, but that loses her virginity towards true zina, she will be flogged. She'll be what? should be flogged, not going to death. So even if she's what, she's under another man. She's under another man. That is, she has lost her virginity to Zina. And she's now, she gets married to another man, not in the Sharia way. It's through what? Through Zina again. That marriage is not what? It's not valid. So you can marry the way you like, and you cannot opt out of the marriage the way you like. So such a man, such a woman, like the case I mentioned, the nikah between her and the husband is still what? It's still there. Even if that man is what? He's sleeping with her. The fact that what? She's under another man now. Doesn't mean what? The nikah between both of them is what? Is valid. Unless if the nikah between her and the first man is invalid. But if the nikah between her and the first man is recognized by Islam, if she goes to another man, that nikah will not be valid until the first nikah is what? And that's why in the case that was brought to Umar radiallahu anhu, a man was going for soup for prayer or so. So that man disappeared, so to say. That is, they could no longer see him. And the wife went to Umar radiallahu anhu, she complained. So the fourth year, second year, third year, fourth year, they didn't see the man. So the wife could not bear it anymore. And she wanted to opt out of the marriage. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked her to do Iddah. And she did Iddah. And after that, after the Iddah, the man appeared. Inan narrated the incident, what happened to him, that he was taken away by the jinn. So when Umar radiallahu anhu asked this, so which nikah, and that woman had the word remarriage, which nikah is valid? The first nikah, what? Is it still valid or not? So what they did was just for afterwards, since they couldn't find the man. But the first nikah, there is nothing that had watched. So one of the line, Anu, returned her to the first husband. But she did what? Idda. Huh? She did Idda with the second husband before she moved to the first husband. This is what tells us that so you cannot take nikah anyhow. If a woman is not interested in a relationship anymore, she has to go through the right way, unless if they are not connected in the right way. A man just sees a woman and watch the start love and he impregnates her. And after a while, she takes her luggage out of the man's house. If all this has no nikah, it is Zina upon Zina that watch. They are doing. So no nikah. We are not talking about this. But the valid nikah happens. You can't break it anyhow. It has to go through the right way. You see that it is talak from the man, or it is what? Khulur. Seeking for khulur from the woman. And both of them, they have to go about it doing the way they should go about it. So the wording of the hadith, as I said, is okay, but the shaykh of the hadith is not authentic. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Na'am. Alaykum assalam.
I want to clarify to you about money. Thank you.
نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. The Christians during the time of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believed that Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was the son of Allah. They believed that Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was one of the Trinity. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحِ. Those who say Allah is Messiah, they have disbelieved. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Those who say Allah is one of Trinity, they have what? Disbelieved. So likewise, those who say Masih alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتِ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنُهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ وَتَخِرُ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِرَحْمَانِ وَلَدًا فَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِرَحْمَانِ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. So, there is nothing we want to talk about the Christians of today that are not in the Christians of the past. So the only thing that we can talk about is the issue of what? Trinity. So that the Christians of the past, Trinity amongst them will be what? Will be common or more common than the Christians of today. And since what the Vas Aspens Wal Mosanatu Min Al-Ladina Utul Kitab Min Qablikum. So the issue should be the issue of Trinity. Some people try to raise this matter that it is not the Christians of today that Allah is talking about. The one who says this, it's like the person is not looking at what? لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ الْمَسِيحُ. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ. When Allah said that, was he addressing the Christian of today or he was addressing the Christian of then? So it is the same. The Millah is Wahida. And the same what? The same religion. So they are only exception from the general ruling of not marrying the kafir. وَلَا تُمْسِكُ بِعِصَمِ الْكَافِرِ وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ. So they are only exception from that. Now, why are they exception? Something because they believe in the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They ascribe themselves to Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the scholars was asked, why is it that it is permissible for a Muslim man to marry a Christian or a Jewish woman, and it's not permissible for a Jewish man or a Christian man to marry a Muslim man? The answer that the man gave is as what? This is because a Muslim believes in Prophet Muhammad and he also believes in Prophet Isa. But as for the Muslim, the Christian man, he does not believe in Prophet Muhammad, so he only believes in what? In Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's the reason why he denied marrying what? Is it clear? Now this is just analogy or something like that. It's not, the reason is not mentioned. But when you look at it, you are silencing by that. If you are believing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have been entitled towards marrying a Muslim lady. But since you don't believe in him, so you can't marry a Muslim. But as for me as a Muslim, I believe in what? Prophet, so I can marry what? A Christian woman. Another believe what? The Prophet Muhammad, Allah, I can also marry a Muslim lady. So Allah. There was no new nikah. Yes. It was the nikah in Awwal, the first nikah. Because it still gives a Muslima, that is the lady that embraces Islam, they give her the time, even after the Iddah, as long as she has no remarriage, so she can wait, she may decide to wait. And if the husband embraces Islam, then they continue their relationship. It's just suspended. It is suspended. But that is left to the woman to decide whether she wants to remarry or not. It's just like the case of Barira and Mughith. Barira became what? Free. And Mughith was still what? A slave. So she was given what? The option to be the choice of being under Mughith or what? Remarrying. So the same thing is applicable, or we treat the same way, a woman that was embraces Islam but the husband was still in kafir. So the nikah is suspended, but she can watch, she can wait if she so desires. See, the husband embraces Islam, but they can watch, they can continue. And if she wants to remarry, this is the area I said that we treat them in the same way. So if she so desires to remarry, she can remarry, wallahu
a'lam.
Those children. So it's not the father of those children, because it is clear to the woman and also clear to the man, and it's clear to everybody that he's not the. So he's trying to claim it. He's trying to claim what is known to everybody, that you are not the owner. So. But the only thing is that what, before he can take such a woman back, there must be what? Idda. There must be Idda. Huh? But throughout that period, the woman still what? Will still be the wife. Unless if they did not do proper nikah at the beginning. If they did proper nikah at the beginning, there is nothing that can break that nikah unless what? Going through the normal way. Say they did not go through the normal way, the woman goes to us to remarry, she has gone to us to do zina. Then if she's ignorant of the ruin of that, maybe she feels that what, she can just pack out of the house. You hear lots of people what could feel. She doesn't know the ruling. So they call it nikah shuba. Nikah that has what ambiguity in it. So those children, so who say what? They are allowed to zina. They will be attracted to the man. If the man is ignorant, the man that marries her is ignorant of the Islamic ruling. And the woman herself is also ignorant. But if the man is aware of the Islamic ruling and takes that woman like that, so they are not allowed to zina. Allowed to shubha. They are allowed what? Zina. So knowledge matters a lot. So any person knows and is pretending not to know, that is what is evil. That is evil. It's just like somebody who discusses a matter with me. Somebody who, a woman that wants to marry a man. Huh? But that did not work. So eventually she married another man. Still in the house of that man, she is interested in going back to marry the So at the heart of what? Working, processing everything until everything is what? Is concluded. So this is what? Haram. The man that is what? Wanting to take such a woman back. Why is she still what? She's still in what? Under another man. Zina. In fact, it's very, very bad. So if the woman wants to go back to that man, she should come out. And say what? I'm no more interested in this marriage. Then the necessary things, they will do. But for her to want to work everything out then, so they will be meeting this woman, somebody's wife is meeting with what? Another man. And that man is comfortable. Sitting with what? Another man's wife. Are we not going to do it? Are you going to... What you would not like somebody to do for you? Or to you, what are you doing to another person's wife? Let's assume it is your wife that you find another man with. So that man is teaching her how she can go out of your house. You won't like it. So if the woman wants to go out, she should be what? Out of her own. So you, because you're interested in another man's wife, you should not be teaching her how to leave that man's house. Because if it were to be you, you won't like it. So and this is what is very serious. Allah Allah. Okay. Now the hadith is authentic. Now the hadith is authentic. This is when it is not something that is what? It is known to people. It's not something that is known to the people, and the woman also admits. Take for instance, somebody is sleeping with another man's wife, and the woman becomes pregnant through the intercourse she had with another man, not the one she had with the husband. The children there will be ascribed to what? To the real husband, the one who did nikah. When I say the real husband, I mean what? The real husband that did nikah, normal nikah with her, not the first person that slept with her. If it is the first person that slept with her without a proper nikah, that is what? Zina. It's zina upon zina she's doing. But the normal nikah, if that happens, so the children would watch, ascribe to the man, unless if the man disowns the children. But in the case mentioned earlier, the woman knew that no, these are the children of this man. The man also knows. Everybody in the society, they know. So wanting to take such children of what Aklu, is it? So the next thing is for him to now take another person's children that is known to everybody in the society that these are not his children. So this is not not okay, it's not proper. Now, the first nikah.
Yes. Well, that man is believing now. But what is this? The second one.
Okay, the first one about the first.
Yeah.
So if proper nikah happens in the first instance, and in the second instance, the woman passed out of the husband's house, so to be under another man, thinking that is what is valid, she can do that. So you say it's what? Shubha, nikah shubha. So those children will be ascribed to the second man. If they do nikah as well.
Now, the woman is no longer interested in the...
Now I'm coming back to that. What I'm saying is that a woman is married to a man, but she's no more interested in the first man. So she goes out of the house. But the second place that she goes to, they do argue it as well. They do argue. They say, okay, we are giving this woman to you as a wife. So we are having two acts now. So both of them cannot be valid. A woman cannot be a wife for two men. So which one is valid Islamically? It is the first one that is valid. So she can't back out of the house of the first one except through what? Through khulu or through talak. And this has not happened. So which means the second marriage, nikah, is invalid. But who call it zina? Why? Because both of them are ignorant. The woman is ignorant. The second man that married her is also ignorant. The family of the woman that gave her out in marriage are also what? Ignorant. So we say this is what? Nikah shubha. And it's not valid. If children have come out of what? The union, the children will be ascribed to the second man. We will say they are what? Auladu zina. They will be seen as what? The children of the second man. Because the intercourse that produced them is what? Is nikau shubha. How do you play? Now, she wants to go back. How can she now divorce herself from the first nikah that we are still taking, that we are still considering? I mean, that is the question. So what she should do is to do the normal thing. She should go and seek what? Khulu. That is the normal thing. And if the man grants...
The first and second man now, seek khulu, or to live with the other
she will
man.
She will do her iddah with the second man. To make her womb free, that her thought her womb is free, there is nothing like a pregnancy. She'll have to do what? She'll have to do that. After that, she now goes to the as a wife. It is during that time she will not seek what? Cooler. How do you explain? No. Okay. To live. Now, if I understand the question, a man observes that his wife is committing shirk. Because of that, he chases her out of the house. Is that valid or not?
Yes, that's valid. Now, the man is not happy. He is both of them
a woman that is a mushrika, if really what you have said is that she commits what? Shirk. That's what I'm saying. A woman that is a mushrika, now there are what? Nawakid Islam. Somebody may be a Muslim, and if he or she commits some things, she becomes what? Automatically a kafir or a mushrik. Automatically. Even if they still recognize him as what? As the sunnah of a particular masjid or the alat of a particular masjid. As long as what? She commits that thing, and she knows this is what? Shirk. So she's a mushrik. Mushrika. She knows that this is what? This is shirk. This thing, Islam is against it. It's shirk. She knows that. Whether somebody calls her a mushrika or not, is what? A mushrika. How do you explain? So, and Allah said, what? Wala tumsiku bi'isa min kawafir. So, don't withhold or do not retain the kafirat. So somebody whose wife is doing shirk, and what she has called her attention to that, this is shirk, and she continues like that, so Allah tumsiku bi'isa min kawafir. The relationship between both of them are what? Is that whether he likes it or not. So that is, the issue of cholera does not come in here. The only thing that what is coming is what is iddah. I hope it is clear. But before that is what is sent, he has to establish evidence on our part that this is what is shirk. Then after he has established evidence on her, she continues. So he comes to Hujjah as what has been done. So after that, there is no more excuse. Okay. Will it be proper for
the man to advise the woman?
Will it be proper for? Okay. They have to sort that. They have to sort whatever. If the woman herself knows that she cannot wait anymore, and she cannot hear what is transpiring between her and the husband, so she should be the one to what to ask for the holder. Huh? Then a neutral person should advise her. A neutral person should advise her that in a situation like this, if you can still bear this, no harm. But if you know you can't bear it, this is the step that you ought to do before the interested man now comes in. But for the interested man to teach her what to do, that's one thing for Hulu. So the man may still be interested, and maybe that may lead to what breaking of the edge. The Christian husband?
That's
a personal decision. The issue is the woman that is married to a man and decides to pack out, and after that she becomes a Christian. So the marriage between both of them is what? It's a wedge. So if she becomes a Muslim again and she wants to come back, so the husband, that is a Christian husband that she got married to, the fact that she has become what? A Muslim, has also what? So now she's a Muslima wanting to marry a Muslim. So they do nikah. She do the dunika. So if the Christian husband that married her later was not interested in her again, and she got, she's willing to go back again, that means she's not serious. So a man taking such a woman is like the man is trying to watch to play with his religion. So it would be dangerous for a man to keep such a person. Allah. A man is supposed to pass his night with his wife. So, and is there sharing this, maybe one day with this, one day with the other. If one of them is sick, that doesn't mean he will not pass the day with her. He will pass the night with her, rather. They tell her that what? She's sick. In fact, she needs more care than the one. I will address that. She needs more care than the one that works, that is not sick. Because passing of the night is not the same thing as what having sexual intercourse. A man may sleep in the house of this one and doesn't have what sexual intercourse with her, and may sleep in the house of this one and have sexual intercourse with her. So this is not injustice. It depends on how the man feels the day that or the night that his wife is sleeping here or not. So it's part of what is not considered as what as injustice, just like the case of what the love. But for him to abandon her, not to have sex with her at all, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَمِينُ كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَمْ. But as for the night, he has to pass the night there. He has to pass the night, even if she's sick. So let's say she's admitted in the hospital. So we have to take care of her, unless if they cannot provide what, maybe a space for him in the hospital, or at the hospital rather, or it will be something that what will tell on his own health as well. Maybe he will not be okay if he sleeps there. So a situation like that, so his what is free. Now, is he now going to pay back? No, he's not going to pay back in a situation like that. That is, if the environment is not conducive for him to be with her, he's not going to pay back. It's just like a woman. If one of the wives travels and one is at home, so the one that travels, maybe she wants to go and visit her people, and the husband allow her to go. With the assistance of a mahram, or maybe he's the one that takes her there. Maybe she spends 2 weeks, 3 weeks with her people, and she now comes back. She now says, okay, I want to my own business. I don't like my own business. This is the way she has decided to spend her days, her nights. And the husband has only worked assisted her in spending the night. So she shouldn't come back and say, okay, I want to get my days back. Or a woman that maybe if she's not around, as I said, maybe she went to visit the parents or so. Then the other wife is around, and the other wife is what is enjoying the whole night. So when she comes back, she shouldn't see the other one as well. Somebody who has transgressed, has used her own time. No. Because the husband also enjoys himself, and you are not available. So the one that is available is also what? It's lawful, for is lawful to her and she's lawful to him. So why must we not say because you are not around, then he should what? Also avoid the other woman because you are not. No, that is not justice. That is not justice. The justice is if you cannot provide something for the husband during your absence, and there is another one that can provide such, so the wife should not be seen as somebody who is what? Unjust, or the man should not be seen as somebody who is what? Unjust. As the question is clear. That there is no person there. That is the decision. No, she can't. Because he's given her her own right. He's given her her own right. So the other one is the right of the woman. It's just like when Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sauda radiallahu anha gave a knight to Aisha radiallahu anha. And Messenger of Allah welcomes that. So, but it's not binding on Messenger of Allah to give it to Aisha. So he may decide what to give that day to another person. Is it clear? So Sauda said what, I've given my knife to Aisha. Messenger of Allah was to take it and give it to Aisha. If you have decided that no, I don't want Aisha, I want Ummu Salama. So the knife will go to Ummu Salama because it's not the sole right of Sauda. It is the right of Sauda, the same right of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you watch, you say, okay, your own part of it, you give it to somebody, and the other person does not want that. So the actual thing, the person that you have given that knife to is the husband. So the woman that is not around, and the husband wants to watch, it's like what she has given her own knife to watch to the husband. So the husband may decide to spend it with the other wife, and he may decide what to win. So Allah wa'ala. Pardon. What happens to the mark of the Muslims? That is just like an accommodation. Somebody who is a Muslim rents an accommodation for a week and he lives there. That is, he lives after he has completed the rent time. Uh-huh. So, and a Christian comes and rents it for also a week, and after he has also finished, he also leaves that place. So, a Muslim comes again. So, there is nothing that is happening. So, that place is meant. It's just a place where people can just come and come and go. So. Is one menstruation. Yes. Both Muslims and Christians. And you. Now.
Hello,
That's not proper. That's not proper. Unless if the danger is foreseen, then in that case, so he can send her out to go and do the iddah somewhere else because of the danger that is foreseen. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. Unless if they bring fahisha, the good fahisha that is what mubayyina, that is clear. Huh? So if she uses that opportunity to be doing more evil, then the man can send her out of the house. But she will still do ajda, but the ajda is not in that house. Wallahu a'lam. Now, sujood sahwi, prostration of forgetfulness, is a very lengthy and complex mudur. But wallahu alam, the one that convinces me most of all the positions is that whichever one you do, it suffices. Whether you do badi in place of qabli or you do qabli in place of ba'adi. So, and this is the favored opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani rahmahullah ta'ala. Some scholars they favored that if there is a reduction, so to say, so you do qabli. If there is addition, you do ba'adi. Some of the opinion that you do qabli throughout. This is the position of the Shafi'i, of the Shafi'iyya. So some of the opinion that what you do ba'adi throughout, this is the position of the Hanafiyya. So that of what qabli, when there is what qabli, when there is reduction, and ba'adi when there is addition, this is what the opinion of the Malikiyya. So they have different views. And some scholars of the opinion, like Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, of the opinion that when the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did qabli, you do qabli. When he did ba'adi, you do ba'adi. So if you do qabli where he did ba'adi, you are wrong. If you do ba'adi where he did qabli, you are wrong. So other than this, you can do anything. And this is also the favored opinion of Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. So the most important thing, and the one that is easy for people to do, is when you do qabli in place of ba'adi, you do ba'adi in place of qabli, so they are all what mashi. So no harm. And this is the best. But if one can do qabli where Messenger of Allah did qabli, it's better. If one can do ba'adi where he did ba'adi, this is what is better. But if one does either of the two, so it's also correct. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sahbi salati falyazu farjatayn." So whoever forgets in his prayer should do two sajda. Whoever forgets in his salah should do two sajda. And the hadith is reported by non-Muslim. So, فَلْيَذُ سَجْدَتَيْن, that is his mutlak. He said, فَلْيَذُ سَجْدَتَيْن قَبْلَ السَّلَاةِ وَبَعْدَ السَّلَاةِ. We have it in some other hadith. So I think this will be maybe moderate and easy for people, Allahu A'lam. No. Last question. No. And you should get a generator that will not be too. Okay. Which one is more preponderant? Do they use it for the salat more, or they use it, for the bigger amount? That is, they use it for the salawat. So if they use it for the salawat, one can donate, contribute for the salawat, because the issue of the Azan is very, very important, that they call the Azan people here. So the fact that they use it for the big arm will not, because of that, now throw away the benefit that it was, the greater benefit. So you can hardly find a mosque where they don't do one thing or one bidia or the other, however little the bidia is. But if they don't use the generator during the salawat time, most of the time they just make azan without using the jet. So, but on that Salat day, we always put on the jet. Then in that case, you can contribute. Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.